It's me again. Oh, there we go. Now I'm on. Morning again. My name is Ben. For those of you that maybe don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here at Real Life Community Church. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to begin our time together in John 15. So if you want to turn there, the scripture passage will also be on the screen. We're going to read John 15, 1 through 17. It says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Father, thank you for your word. May it continue to be a lamp unto our feet. May it continue to direct our paths back to you. Help us to discover what it looks like to embody your Son, to allow your Savior to do a work in us that is then expressed in everything that we say and do. And it's in his name. Amen. So we've talked a lot about building tables in this series and what it looks like for us to kind of set the table for worship, to set the table to be a part of the church, right? So with that, what would happen if we ended up building that table, right? We built the table that has a space for everyone. Everyone that comes into this place, everyone that wants to be a part of the faith community here, be a part of the people of God, we have a seat for every single one of us at this table. Everyone has a place, everyone is seated at their place. At the table, we're all there to do something, right? When we all gather at the dinner table, what are we all there to do? We're there to eat, right? And I'm not going to go on a taco rant. That's not what this is about. But we're all sitting at the table. You know, our stomachs are starting to grumble. Our mouths are starting to water. What happens if everything at the table is this? This isn't real, right? This is an artificial fruit. It looks great. It looks like the real thing. Maybe some of you didn't realize this wasn't real until I picked it up. But it's just for display. So what if we invited everyone and we accepted the invitation to be at this banquet, to be at this great table, to be at this feast, and then all we ever really received was this? Can't be eaten, can't sustain life. In other words, it doesn't fulfill its purpose, right? The whole purpose of gathering, the whole purpose of being at this table is not able to be fulfilled because we don't have the real thing. There are a lot of things that we can do and a lot of things we can say that can craft an image, that can make everything look or feel like it's perfect. But in this passage that we read from Jesus, it's pretty clear that if the things that we do and the things that we say have no love, if Christ isn't in them, there's no fruit. The real thing isn't necessarily present, and it's the real thing that actually gives us life. The whole reason we find ourselves at that table is to find life, is to receive life. So what I hope we discover this morning is something that's simple. It's abiding in Jesus results in bearing everlasting fruit. Sounds simple, right? Maybe not so much. Now, we're all about making things simple. I'm about making things simple. There are books that are great resources that make the gospel message simple. There are books that even help churches figure out how they can become simple. In fact, kind of what all of this is, what this time of our services is about us trying to make things simple so that you can take the word of God and use it and apply it. But when you get to this analogy from Christ, bearing fruit, abiding in me, that doesn't feel simple, right? Because even if you take that analogy of fruit, like we all know what an apple is, right? We all have probably tasted an apple. We've all seen apples. We've seen apple orchards, maybe some of us. But if I were to say, all right, everybody stick out your hand and now create an apple, I'm really hopeful that none of you can, because I would be scared. We can't. So when we're talking about producing fruit, how does that work? And then there's the whole abide business. Like, where I get it, we're supposed to love God, we're supposed to love one another, but then what is this about abiding in Christ? I can love you, I can serve you, I can care about you, I can express my love for you. I certainly can't abide in you. I can't embody you. And you can't embody me. I know that's like good news, right? Because I don't want to embody anybody. But here in the scriptures, it tells us that if we want to produce fruit, if we want to perform those miracles, if we want to do something that we can't do clearly in our own strength, that we're to embody Christ. We're to abide in him. So the instructions to do something we don't know how to do is also something we don't know how to do. But yet it's supposed to be simple, right? But really, when we think about it, what in life is simple? Our lives are certainly not simple, right? Even just existence, everything around us is not simple. So if our lives can't be categorized as simple, how can this mission to embody Jesus be simple? I don't know if there's comfort in this or not, but the people of God have always struggled. We've always struggled to get this concept of being faithful and fruitful. In the creation story, it's clear that God's presence was meant to be continually with us, that God walked the earth with creation. God was ever present. But because of our free will, because we've taken advantage of that free will, humanity chose to reject the idea of God continually being with us. We desired God's power, but we rejected God's plan. We've rejected God's presence. And then we see throughout history, we see throughout Scripture, this separation from God, this lack of God being present with us and in us and through us, has always led to a lack of fruit. That's why we see in the prophets of the Old Testament, what they were doing is they were simply trying to be the voice of God to pull people back to his will, bring people back to where they could be fruitful. And then you see the Pharisees, the other religious leaders in the New Testament. They're fueled by their pride, their perceived idea of their power justified a lack of fruit in them. And then they even would condemn those who were seeking to bear fruit, as they condemned the disciples, even to the point where they condemned Jesus. So that's why teachings like this from Jesus, teachings in the New Testament and in the epistles, really they're instructions to inform the church on how to embody the mission. Jesus' words to his disciples, it's all about bringing us back to him, being rooted in him, so we can experience the freedom that we need to then authentically bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So embodying mission, it's not a quest for some type of legacy, some type of personal image, or an ability to take control of our lives. It's an invitation to navigate life in this world, in the complexities of this world, in a simple, Christ-like way, where we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're covered in the righteousness of God, the grace of God, and that empowers our lives. It's being nourished by and producing fruit that actually lasts. And then we can become more aware of the mission of Jesus being accomplished in us, around us. We get to be a part of that. We get to experience those encounters with Jesus that are happening right in front of our eyes. When we've felt that love, when we've come to the point where we embrace a life of community, Jesus tells us that's how we become fruitful. That's how we start to produce the things that can sustain new life in Christ. The first century Christians, they really struggled with the reality of Jesus' humanity. They couldn't quite figure out the divinity and humanity of Jesus and how that fits. Like, if Jesus is really God, then how is he acting like a human? And if Jesus is human, how is he performing these miracles of God? But those implications of Jesus' humanity really is how we understand how we are to embody Jesus. See, Jesus felt pain. Jesus felt fear. Jesus needed to eat. Jesus was doing a lot of walking around. Jesus maybe even smelled. I don't know if I can say that at church, but Jesus was fully human. He was one of us. And we see in Scripture that he's showing us the way to a fruitful life. Jesus is spending lots and lots of time loving people, right? Even unsavory people. Leaning into humanity instead of repelling, instead of recoiling. This reality of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, that should inform the way that we view each other, how we view ourselves. And it should speak to the ways that we are to embody this mission as his church. You see, the church, it's not just these buildings, and we know that. We've heard that time and time again. But if we call a church a sanctuary, that maybe has a little bit of meaning to it, because sanctuary is a place for people to find rest, for people to find care, to give rest, to give care. What this is, what this body is, what all of us collectively is together, is a place where we can be known, right? We've talked about this, where we can belong. I know that there's like some images down the hallway with the little circles and the hearts, and I was told that it kind of looks like we're making a hospital. We're not really making a hospital, although we do have a blood drive going on in the community space, so maybe kind of. But isn't that what Jesus tells us he's doing, right? He came to heal the sick. He came to find the lost. He's here to be with those who need him. So what was the mission of Jesus that we were to embody? N.T. Wright explains it as this. He explains that Jesus was the embodiment of God. He was this new covenant, right? So us as the church, we become the temple of God. Our bodies are a temple. We're the temple of God. What the temple of God represented was that we were the space where God, where heaven and earth can meet. So when we embody mission, we become that temple. Then this becomes not just a building, this becomes a space where people can have an encounter with God because we're embodying Jesus. See, when we embody the mission, we're allowing Jesus to take us by the hand and show us what he sees, to see life the way he sees life, to see each other as he sees each other, how we're to see each other. And then we begin to experience that abiding presence of God. So how did Jesus embody this? I think the answer to that question is in the answer of who did Jesus touch? As Jesus was fully human, right? Jesus lived amongst us. We believe that. As followers of Jesus, we have to believe that. So if we do, who did Jesus touch? Who did Jesus allow to touch him? Who did Jesus share intimate moments with? And then how did he show mercy and love? We see in Scripture he spent time with the sick, with the unclean, criminals, trafficking victims, widows, children, those who were seen as undeserving, those who were seen as the marginalized, the abandoned. Jesus intentionally spent time with lost and broken people. He even loved doubters and skeptics. Even when Thomas doubted, one of his closest followers, he had compassion. And he allowed his disciples to again see his humanity, to see that it was him. See, if we have a desire to abide in Christ, like it said in John, if we have a desire to embody Jesus, we have to reckon with the fact that Jesus never kept humanity at arm's length. That's hard. Because he embraced a life of holy love amongst sinners. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, you could even say that if Jesus was sort of frustrated, or if Jesus condemned anybody, it was the religious leaders who literally thought that they were holier than thou. They thought that they were holier than Jesus. They thought that Jesus and his disciples were not following the law of God in the way that they loved. So embodying the mission, it's not about making ourselves perfect in our own strength. It's not about that. It's really about seeing ourselves and others the way that Jesus sees us and sees those around us, so that Jesus can produce that fruit through his power. That's why when we read the parables from Jesus, we need to actually see those words of Jesus through the way he lived. Recognize that these weren't necessarily just fairy tales, they weren't stories. He was presenting the way back to him, the way of this life of love. Like this passage in Matthew 25. It says this in verse 34 through 40. This is what fruitful life looks like according to Jesus. And he modeled this. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see it in the Good Samaritan. You see it in the prodigal son. The heroes in these stories are not the conquerors. They're not the victors. They're not the ones that rose up above the rest. The heroes in these stories are the ones who showed mercy, who showed grace, and who showed love. There are so many people desperately in need of love. I am desperately in need of love. I know we all are. So we have a choice as those who know Jesus. We have a choice of those who say that we follow Jesus. We could spend our time like the religious leaders. We could try to gatekeep, try to spend our time justifying who does and who doesn't deserve our love. Are we going to continue to disobey God when we do that? Are we going to continue to disobey God when we hold hate in our hearts for other people? When we refuse to love our enemies? That's what embodying mission is. Or are we going to be like Jesus? Are we going to abide in his love? Are we going to choose to not hold the lives of those around us at arm's length, but to actually touch the lives of those around us? Allow our hearts to care for humanity and creation that is so desperate for redemption. Not for our own glory, but because Jesus chose us first. Jesus loved us first. And he gave us this amazing freedom, this unconditional adoption into the family of God. So we get to let go of all of that other stuff and live in the eternal reality of heaven here on earth through the love of God. So as the church, do we need to hold ourselves accountable? Of course. Do we need to confess and repent? Absolutely. Do we need to hold ourselves accountable and the church as a whole accountable? Yes. We don't get a free pass to abuse power. We don't get a free pass to ignore when abuse of power happens. But when we see people that are seeking love, regardless of who they are, even people that have not maybe fully encountered God or have yet to find a loving community, we're told clearly in the words of Jesus, and we're shown in the life of Jesus, that what we say to them, what we do for them or do to them, needs to be out of love. So we ask the question, who did Jesus touch? And how did he touch them? And then we go and do the same. Now this is, maybe it feels like I'm like on a high horse up here saying this, but I'm really not. This is for me too. I get off track. I allow myself to create enemies of people. Sometimes in my reactions, I'm trying to press the pause button on embodying Jesus. There are times that I don't want to embody the mission. Excuse me. It's hard. When I'm burnt out, yeah, I don't feel like embodying Jesus. When I lose a loved one, when a friendship falls apart, does it feel like we want to embody Jesus in those moments? Does it feel like we're even able to produce fruit? When the bills are due, when life is a mess at home, there are plenty of moments that I could list off where it is very hard to feel like we can embody Christ, that we can truly abide in Christ. But it can happen. And in fact, it should happen. I have that same call to embody the mission in my own house with my own family as anyone else. I don't get to just stand up here and talk about it to you guys. I have to live it out. And it's a struggle at home, too, to do that. It's a struggle in our workplaces. It's a struggle in our social circles. It's definitely a struggle on social media. But we all have we have opportunities to choose whether we're going to allow Christ to live in us or whether we're going to let the world dictate how we react and respond to each other. Even here at church, we're not here to check off a box. And it's not that we're here to do a task or like we have to show up with a burden that we have to do something. It's that we actually get to be a part of the body of Christ again. We get to connect and be connected with Christ in these moments. And I know I appreciated the worship team, but there are so many other ministry teams here, people that dedicate their lives to serving, to volunteering of their time, to being here week after week. They don't do that because they get some kind of reward at the end. They don't do that because they get some kind of a title. They do it because that's a way for them to love. That's a way for them to embody mission. That's a way for them to be Christ here for you. It doesn't matter which ministry area that is. It doesn't matter even if you're not volunteering in the church. If you're doing something outside of the walls of the church, there are ways everywhere for us to embody mission. It's not just about Jesus showing up to be with us. It's recognizing that Jesus is a presence in us moment by moment. Abiding is an interconnection with Jesus that results in outward expressions. So it's disingenuous, really, for us to pretend like we've got it all figured out, like we've created these three phrases, and then it's, well, we figured it out. There's the prescription. And I get it because my mind goes that way. My mind works that way, too, sometimes, where it's like, okay, step one, I got it done, and then I do this, and then I do that. So I encounter, I embrace, and then I embody. Step one, step two, step three. But that's not really how it works. Because there are people, believe it or not, that are embodying the mission of Jesus that maybe have yet to really encounter God in a way that leads to faith in Christ yet. There are people that are loving and serving people in our community and are doing amazing things that maybe don't have that relationship with the church, that maybe have not embraced the community of the body of Christ. We've had meetings with those people. Those people are in our schools. Those people are they're at DCS. They're in organizations all around this city and all around this community and all around this region. There are people that are loving people and serving people all around us. Now we have a golden opportunity to choose to join them, to serve them, to love them, and to partner with them. We have an invitation to be in our community while also embodying Jesus in those spaces. They are people that maybe will never be a part of this church body, and that's okay. Because Jesus is doing incredible things all around us, and we have an invitation to be a part of that. Our gift from God is that we get to embrace the simplicity of loving our neighbors as ourselves, serving the people around us, and receiving and giving the grace of God. Because we saw in that passage, when we're serving others, we're serving Christ. When we're encountering others, we're encountering Christ. To summarize the whole entire series, I hope it's comforting that each of these things are not isolated silos. This is a cycle. You get to encounter God as you're embracing the community of Christ. You get to encounter God when you're embodying mission. All of these things are interchangeable. All these things are different parts of the same whole. So I don't want anyone to take this away and be like, well, this is what I got to do. I got to do all of this right now, or I'm not a part of this faith community, or I'm coming up short. We have enough pressures from the world. We have enough pressures from culture and from society that tell us that we're never good enough. I don't want anyone to leave this series or take away from this series that we're not doing enough. These are just invitations for us to further understand what it means to experience the fruit of the Spirit, that love, that joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If we want to experience those things, if we want to receive those things and give those things, if we want to produce those things in our life, these are just three representations of how we do it. But I don't want anyone to feel as though that these are hurdles in front of us between Jesus, because that's what the religious leaders did, is they created hurdles for people to have to jump over to get to God. Those hurdles don't exist anymore. These are invitations. These are actually commitments from us as the church to be there with you, to walk with you, to support you, to continue to do our part to keep building that table, to keep extending that table, helping us to continue to get healthier, more rooted in Christ, so that we all can produce fruit. So if you haven't figured it all out yet, that's okay. Either have I. Nobody has. If you haven't felt like you've been able to fully embody what this mission looks like, if you haven't felt like you've really been able to take that step and embrace community, that's okay. We're just going to keep lovingly inviting you. And even when I feel like I'm falling short of one of these three things, I'm just going to keep accepting that invitation to be a part of this faith community, to be a part of this. And hopefully, as we've all made that commitment to love each other, to support each other, to take whatever step we feel we need to take when we need to take it, hopefully we encounter God in a new way. Hopefully we can encounter God in our interactions with each other, those outside of the space. Hopefully we can feel like we have a community that's committed to one another, And hopefully then we can embody the mission, that we can see the fruit around us. Not just the fruit that we try to produce, but we can start to see where Christ is at work in the schools and in where we work, wherever we are. And we can start to see what Jesus is doing and then be a part of it. So I guess as we close out this series that was really just a really, really, really long invitational card that you all got to be a part of this church and what we're doing, to learn with us, to serve with us, and ultimately just to love with us as we try to love one another as Christ loves the church. Does that sound good? I have some more announcements after this, so I'm going to pray and then we'll go through those announcements. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for giving us grace. Because like I said, we don't have all of this figured out yet. Life just continues to be more and more complicated. Being a church keeps getting more and more complicated. But thank you for being with us in that. Thank you for giving us our Savior, your Son. Thank you that it is through him that all of this is possible and not us. Thank you that it's his grace that makes us your beloved, not what we can do. And thank you that it's the fruit of your Spirit that sustains us. Because our fruit in our own strength can't really do that. So thank you. And there may be people here that still can't wrap their minds around what it looks like to have a relationship, to abide, to be rooted in Jesus. I thank you that they're still here, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in their hearts, that you would continue to reveal yourself to them. And Lord, if there are those that are at the place where they finally feel like they're ready to put their faith and trust in the love that lasts, give them the space and the awareness to do that. That they would make that simple decision to put their faith in Christ Jesus. And as they do that, may you just continue to reveal to them the new life that they have, the community that they have available to them, and the mission that they're invited to take place in. Help us all to just continue to learn what it looks like for us to embody Christ. I don't know what that looks like for anyone else but me. So I just pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity. Thank you for the opportunities that we have that we're going to talk about to be able to serve and love people in your name. May you give us the strength, may you give us the wisdom, may you give us the patience for us to continue to follow the ways of Jesus. And when things are challenging, when things are at a place in our life where things become so complicated that we just can't see past whatever we're doing in the moment, let alone how we can be Christ in those moments, may you bring somebody to be Christ in our lives. And that as we feel that maybe we're not able to produce the fruit that we should, that we would receive the fruit from one another, that you would just continue to help us to be aware of the love that we are meant to just simply live in and live out. Help us to be your church. Thank you for allowing us to be your church. Thank you for inviting us all to be a part of this family of God. And thank you that this family of God is not built on anything else but your grace and your goodness and your holiness. Thank you. It's in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.